and welcome to Prosody, WESA's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Stefan Lavosic. Stefan Lavosic's new chapbook, Persona and Shadow, was published in 2015 by Flutter Press. He is a musician and a U.S. Army combat veteran. His poetry has appeared or is forthcoming in The Atlantic, New England Review, Main Street Rag, Off Course Literary Journal, and Rattle. He's a three-time nominee for a 2015 Pushcart Prize. Hi, Stefan. How are you?
Good, Jan. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. And
Thank you. You're
going to read some poems from your new book.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
All right. This first poem is a poem dedicated to James M. Desmond and the brothers of Charlie Company, Air Cav, 1st of the 12th. It's called Returning to the World. Returning to the world in 72, Jim and I walked the Narragansett beach, trying to feel the clams with our toes, trying to feel. Back at the house, friends rolled hundreds of joints in multicolored papers, trying to forget the distance, our long stare. We just wanted the clams and much more beer. But the smell of the clams brought the bloating bodies in the red patties into a clear focus. The bark of orders to execute the young small men at close range, blood spatter, bits of brain that shot backwards onto the lips, that shot all the way back to the Narragansett. Then, in the long seconds, we fell into the sand, as if we were praying for the waves, the tide, to bring us something good and just. It never did. Only the smell remains. This next poem comes out of the PTSD that I denied for many years. It's called Confession and Shadow. Even 44 years after going over the line, finally breaking bad, pulling the trigger and cleaning the knife too many times, I can only speak to you in a voice of sharp sticks, a throat of broken glass. Out of the alleys and jungles of confession and shadow, it is this simple. There are some things you can't talk about until you have become someone else, recognizable only to you. Even now, it is only my shadow that speaks to you, not understanding how common and deep it can go until you have hurt someone in the worst possible way. For this, I can't be forgiven. This poem is called Monkey. Please say hello to my monkey, my smiling monkey, brutal monkey, my funny monkey, holy monkey. I am monkey, and monkey is me, in me, with me, always. My monkey eyes, my monkey teeth, my monkey brain. We are the jungle blood and find impossible places to hide and dance and seek. During the day, we eat bananas and bushes. At night, we tear flesh and toast it with lemons and tongues. At night, we tell stories, rehearse all the myths, discuss the elements of the psyche without speaking. We are the place where secrets are kept. We are the language not known but felt, the place where the opposites disappear, the moonless jungle within of all things forbidden and desired. We are the shadow monkey. We are the lovely monkey, kind, cruel, perfect, my complete monkey me, our dance about to begin. So please say hello. We have already eaten, and we're just lying here on our monkey bones, waiting. This poem is called Persona. I fashion it with fragments of bone and wire, an image crafted so well, so clean, so foul. This hard film of skin I know too well. My tough fool of zeros, my deception, this life like a language of one vowel.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Stefan Lavosic. He's reading from his new book, Persona and Shadow. Stefan, I'd like to ask you about the idea of shadow in your work, which seems really prominent in your work, not surprising since it's in the title, but I wonder if you could talk about the activity of writing poems that may have relationship to things that happened long ago, may or may not have, and the choice to use persona or not in those poems.
Well, that's a good question. I think, first of all, the shadow element in the psyche is obviously everything that is dark and forbidden and all the things that we want to forget that we're, you know, that we're not capable of killing, we're not capable of this in conscious life. And going into therapy a long time ago, then stopping, and when I started to write again, that was an overwhelming element. The idea of the shadow not only being that dark side, but also a thing of energy, a quality of excitement, a energetic kind of thing, or quality, or whatever you want to call it. And so it seemed to be immediate to me. When I would sit down to write, all these images would come up, and I would, that's where it went. You know, I was trying to self-edit at one point, and then I decided just to throw in the towel and, you know, go with what was really happening. So that's, I don't know if I'm answering your question or not, but that shadow element has been in my life for such a long time, and I've been aware of certain things, elements of it, but it went to a deeper level, I guess, too.
Well, you know, thinking that there are listeners out there who may have not written for a while and may be trying to write, can you talk about how it was for you to begin to write after a long time? And what helped you, maybe?
Yes. When I started writing when I was 12 years old, and I had something published when I was 17. And I wrote and wrote and wrote, and then things happened, life happened, things got in the way, and I didn't. Then sporadically I would write. And I started to read what was then contemporary poetry, and I just didn't see myself in that, what I was reading. I just said, no, what is this, you know? There was this narrative telling me a story. And so a few things happened. Someone once said about Bruce Weigel's work that, you know, he wrote in Song of Napalm that that he wrote the definitive narrative of the Vietnam War. And whoever wrote this blurb, I don't recall the name, said, and he managed to write 12 memorable poems along the way. And I thought to myself, well, you know, if 12 memorable poems, really, out of all that work? So I think that kind of freed me up. Also going to hear people at poetry readings, looking at different writers, not only the dead old white guys, but a myriad of writers, male and female, that really helped me. It just freed me. It freed me up, and it took away that self-editing and that diffidence that I had at certain points along the way.
Okay. Could you read some more poems?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. This poem is called King of the Dirt. In 1964 at St. Al's, the Pittsburgh Sun suspended by soot and ash, the Allegheny catfish sick with polio. It was Catholic recess, the holy recess. A holy dog of a boy argued with me about the vital importance of the accordion in a band. I responded, "No, I think the drums are more important." Some pushing began, a few punches thrown, and I thought, this is how people think? I'm doomed. So I run up and stand on the playground's mound of dirt, and sure enough, this boy, big as a 56 olds, was charging at me, wanting to knock me off, knock me down. His small eyes with no color, his large forehead leading the way, and I realized this is hate coming, but I didn't care. I was a martyr, king of the dirt, all the dead languages standing on the mound, bothered by no history. I was right. I was original, different. I was Rex in profundis. What got to me was the thought of his ideas and all those that came before him, the same stupidity, the same eyes, the hatred, the long, heavy-handed idiocy and shadow of the centuries. Now, this poem is called Moving. Moving towards 70, knowing less, understanding less, the night is refuge. Tilting my ear to hear uncertain distances like decades past, but another piece of the puzzle falls apart. Straining to see what visions used to be, knowing it was part of me, in front of me, at some point important and vital, at some point wanting to do it right, taking it all back, I don't know. These nights do not last. So I'll choose my sounds and visions. Don't tempt me to seek or be reasonable. Don't ask me anything. I'll just say I don't know. Everything now ends at my fingertips. This poem is called Projections. Years ago, I was at a some kind of conference with Abraham Tversky, Rabbi Abraham Tversky. And he made this statement, people need a few things, air, water, food, shelter, and someone or something to blame. This poem is called Projections. Again, we talk, the typical routine of our complexes, the pantomime of dissonant autobiographies exposing the low burn of loss and shame, what we now blame and paint the mirrors of our delusions to reflect only the perfect ghosts of what we think we are, our poor diamonds of expectations and perceptions of being complete over this expanse of time, safe in the illuminations of our amnesia, the comfort of our disdain, our fever of difference, blind in the expected labyrinths of self, refusing to enter these nights of the soul, now find in our rage we are screaming, the looping satyricon of our lies, stepping through these mirrors to become what we've always despised, our disease projections, our paralysis in these necessary arcs of becoming something, somehow. This poem is called Waking. I also know the horror of simple things, a water spot on a mirror, two pillows on a bed, the perfect placement of a knife on a plate. These are the terrors that grow over our sleep. So I run to you to tell me how to decipher what's really here. But we are not viable today, due to our tangled wires holding us to the shared space that tear our common wax face, hidden by a salve of well-placed words and intentions that hang in this air like hooks, twisting into sharp angles to expose the boundaries of our fever, our illness of the commonplace that sustain us. This haunting of all severed spaces and hours that are us, dead is 4 o'clock. This simplicity of what we think we are and don't know. This comfort that isn't and never will be. But maybe there is a waking, but not yet, not yet.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Stefan Levosic. He's reading from his new book, Persona and Shadow, published by Flutter Press. One thing I'm noticing, Stefan, is there's a lot of darkness in your work, and I think that's something that even though poets, I think, generally are kind of deep people, but there's still, I think, a lot of people are afraid to go way dark in their work. And so, I mean, that's one thing I admire about your work, that you're not afraid to do that. You know, I was just writing down, just in the last poem you read, words, and there was horror, knives, terror, tangles, hooks, right. You know, illness, severed, dead, you know, it keeps going.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm wondering what you feel about that, or if there were walls you had to break through to be able to write that darkness in a poem, whether it was revision or what.
I don't know if I had to break any walls down, but as I said before, this darkness, this shadow, has always been a huge part of me, going back to my childhood. And actually, it's a saving grace. It's a gift for me, because there was so much darkness there that, and I wasn't utilizing it before. You know, I was kind of putting my hand out saying, stop, no. And I knew it was there, conscious of it, but not turning it into something, not utilizing it, if that makes any sense. So it wasn't so much of tearing down a wall, it was allowing myself to fall back and down into it, mm-hmm. and to see what happened. Because I really wasn't afraid, because I felt like I had not, you know, when you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So that's what I did. Some of my recent poetry is a little bit on the brighter side, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
you know, and which is good. But I really needed, and I still need, to deal with that on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
and write
mm-hmm.
accordingly.
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, the poetry, and I think, I mean, I believe everyone has darkness and, you know, mm-hmm. degrees of it, but
yeah.
but a lot of people seem to edit that out of their work for some reason and make their poetry too nice, and, you know, you don't, but I always, you know, wonder. Well, I know something about what it takes to put that darkness in the work, but I also think it's an aesthetic choice with mm-hmm. with poetry, and regardless of what is in life, mm-hmm. you know, what to put in the poems yeah. is another question. So I guess, was it ever a question to you, for you to not include all of that, all of the darkness?
No, I was compelled. You know what I mean? It was just when I started talking to other writers, when I started listening, to myself, so to speak, that had to come out because poetry saved me. I really believe that now. And I wasn't afraid of the darkness. And it is such a, it's a huge part of who we are. And I, you know, I don't know what else to say about it other than it is part of, I feel that that shadow element, that darkness, is part of the creative process in some way. And it's, you know, imagination and memory meet, the shadow and the light meet at some point, dream and waking life meet at some point. So it's that kind of dynamic. So it's been good for me. And again, you know, it's a day-to-day-to-day issue with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I work very hard at being a little bit sane.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Okay. Well, can you read some more?
Sure. And by the way, this poem I'm going to read is called Absolution. And it really speaks to what we were just talking about. Absolution. I was birthed in the red clay of Alabama and Georgia. Men in green suits handed me weapons. Mosquitoes and snakes taught me the predator's compass, to breathe, to find the opening, to draw blood. The sway of pines, the flight of crows, the trajectory of the kill. The swamp's my altar. I crowned myself with razor wire and walked into the black waters to drain my blood, shed my skin, while they whispered, one shot, one shot, one shot, one kill, one shot, one shot. And from over 800 yards, I was perfect, and they screamed. They handed me medals, trophies, and a beret with the assassin's pin. I made unspeakable sacrifices and covenants to darkness, shaved my head and painted my face the colors of my altar, filled my veins with the holy pagan waters, and slithered into Dog Day, All Souls Day, the days of the dead, from The Hague to Chantrea to the Highlands. They didn't know how the air would explode from their lungs, the force of the ground coming up. They didn't know how their world would collapse, the speed at which blood flows. They didn't know how their bodies would twist into cruel angles, the immediacy of nothing. They will never know how their bones and blood would shake me from sleep. They will never know how I now carry them like stones in my black water's heart that continues to break, that moves me to this rebirth, this absolution I still seek. This poem, Bruce Weigel has been a great friend to me, a mentor, and really encourage a lot of encouragement from Bruce. So this is for him, for Bruce Weigel. This is called Song. In the blistered jungles we were born, canopies of blood, floor of bones. We found our death, our voice among the songs of the dead alone. And from the mortar rounds we saw our death. From the bouncing mines we found a cadence to sing our song, the bodies of the broken, the songs of the dead alone. The compass of reason, our way home lost, we became an explosion of wounds and heard beyond the rhythm of moans, the hypnotic gaze of our death, our voice among the dead alone. From the impossible jungles we were birthed and returned to the homes we lost, the quiet never heard, the thunder still the mortar rounds, lightning the cracking of bones, to find our death again, our voice again, among the songs of the dead left alone. And this poem also speaks to your question before. This poem is called Memory. Is not a full vein, a clear blood. It floods dry, leaving moments of odor, a few bones of what was wanted, wished, a catastrophe of fragments of emotion and image, now born, now hoped, now killed, but wished again, wanted again to remember our thick pulse and dense purpose of how we walk crooked like dogs toward our history, a murder or magnificence to happen to remember.
Time for one more.
Okay. This poem is called Mother. We'll end on a dark spot here. Mother, pin those lips, honey. I'll try to explain and kill you. But mother, I see the shadow of you, spine of shadows, always looking back to a clean dish, a TV. But mother, I hear the rattles, droppings in your head, your hollow head, race like dogs on fire. But mother, I'm screaming. I hear you, see you, your deafening air of duty and darkness, trying to explain the methods of being ridiculous, being clean, nice, gone.
The poetry of Stefan Levosic. Thank you so much for being here. That was great.
Thanks, Jen. Really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Prosody, WESA's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the arts entertainment newsweekly published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in every Saturday morning at 6:30 for Prosody 90.5 WESA.